Good morning, everyone. For the next 2 weeks, we're going to be starting a new series called Gathered in Sense, in which we're going to look at a little piece of the discipleship that we've been working on in our church, a discipleship pathway, a way to help us understand discipleship better, how to be involved in discipleship. And if we can get it up on the screen. Nope, that's not it. Okay, well, there is it's this pathway that we've kind of worked on together of how to help people understand God. And there's four different components. I'm going to read them to make sure I don't mess it up. But it's that we continually worship God so we can be like Jesus. Then we serve the world and we invite others. And it's this continual circle that just keeps going that we keep. There it is. That's the one. So it's this kind of a moving target. It's not like you just do the one and then you move on to the next one. It's not how real growth works. It's not like if you want to get healthy physically, you start exercising. Then once you've hit that point, you start eating right. You got to do it all together at once. So that's what we're going to be talking about, looking at this. And we're going to focus this week on inviting others, this idea of gathering together. And before we get to our scripture today, I just want to set it up so we know what's going on. So it's the end of the Israelites wandering through the wilderness. If you remember, they wandered through the wilderness for 40 years going around, and they're coming to the end of that. And that means that things are going to change. So Moses is starting to get the people ready for that change. One of the changes involves him. He's coming to the end of his life. He's not going to be involved anymore. He's not going to lead anymore. So what he does is he writes out the first five books of the Bible. The Torah, the Pentateuch, whatever you want to call it, the book of the law for the people. And he gives it to the elders, and he gives them this instruction. He says, all right, every 7 years is a special year in the Jewish calendar. It's a year of rest. So it's a year when debts are forgiven, the workload is lightened, and we're supposed to have like a Sabbath year. And on that year, during the festivals, when we hit the Festival of Shelters, which is basically Thanksgiving in reverse for Jewish people. Like we like to do our harvest and then we get all our food and thank God for it. They do it at the beginning of their planting cycle, saying we're going to thank God for what he's going to do. So you have this festival where they're looking at thanking God and getting ready to work and getting ready to go. And then Moses gives the instruction that you're supposed to take everyone, get everyone together and read these five books of the Bible to everyone so we can all hear it. And that's where we pick it up, is that after he says that, Moses says, assemble the people, men, women, and children, and the foreigners residing in your towns, so they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and follow carefully all the words of this law. Their children who do not know this law must hear it and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Now, many of you know I'm more of a hands-on type learner, so we're going to do that today. We're going to read the first five books of the Bible to kind of experience what that's like. No, we're not doing it. It's funny, some of you got this look like, we ain't beating the Baptist to Olive Garden today. No, it's okay, we're not. It's okay. But we don't do that because we don't need to. We don't need to have everyone get together and read. I mean, this is fantastic. I've got the entire Bible on my phone. I can read it anytime I want. Like, you understand, for someone who likes to read, that's a big deal. It even glows in the dark. So I don't even debug people and I can read. Like, I've got all sorts of books. I read on this too much, I'll have to say that, because my lovely daughter, who some of you know is kind of outspoken, she got mad at me the other day. She's like, you know how most people are like, are you on your phone again? My daughter's like, are you reading again? We're planning something. She's like, if we go on vacation, you're not allowed to read. I'm like, child, you don't understand how vacation works, all right? This is how this works. But I can read the entire Bible. I have the entire Bible in my pocket. I don't need to gather with everyone to hear the Bible. And back then, this is the only copy. Even if you could read, you still couldn't read the Bible even if you wanted to. The only chance you got to hear the Bible was it read aloud to you by the group in the gathering. I can do it whenever I want right now. Even looks like a Bible. I can scroll through Instagram and look all holy. But I don't even need to gather together to have someone explain the Bible to me. I mean, I can go on YouTube and I can watch all sort of pastors. I can, you know, listen to podcasts. We have our sermons online. Lots of churches have the sermons online. I don't even need to get together to hear a sermon. I don't even need to get together with you to talk to you. I can message you. I can text you. I can send you stupid memes. I can do all sorts of... We don't even need to be together to kind of be together. And it's taken a toll on us that we don't realize because we're actually losing the ability and sometimes even the desire just to get together because we don't need to. Why do we need to? We got all this stuff. I mean, I can sit at home on my phone all day if I want to. It's a new thing that's going through. I mean, years and years ago, even in your own families, the end of the night was a time to gather. You'd all gather together for dinner. You'd gather around the fire and talk or do whatever you're doing. Then it became we all gathered around the radio, listen to the radio. Back in the day, you'd have one TV eventually, so you'd all gather in the one room with the one TV. You kind of gather all facing the same way, but you're at least in the same room. Then you had the computer came along, you're able to have the computer. I could be on the computer while you're all here, but now it's like people are so busy, they got so much going on. I've got practice, I've got this ride, I've got work going late, I can just pick up food, you know. And then when we're done, you go to your room, I'll go to mine, I can watch Netflix, you can do whatever. And even in our families, we're losing the ability to gather. We don't know how to do it. We just don't know how to do it. And what we don't understand is how much it's hurting our soul because of who God made us to be. Interesting part, when you read the creation story, God made us in his image. But God is not just one. God is three in one. Don't ask me to explain it. I can't. But he is three in one. So it's very interesting when you look at the language of the creation story. God said, let us make man in our image. Let him be like us. It's not just a me thing. Not make God like me. Make him like us. We, in the image of God, are designed to gather together, whether we realize it or not. Sometimes we get to know God and who he is just by being together. Understand, I'm saying this as someone who's like very, very, very introverted. Like I'm talking high. It's funny, you know those personality tests? They tell you if you're manic depressive or not. I say that I actually took one of them and I had a teacher come up to me at the end. He's like, are you okay? I'm like, shut up. But I usually score 100% introverted. The lowest I've ever scored, one day was 93% introverted and 7% extroverted. I was in the mood to party that day or something. I don't know, but I am like, that's just who I am, and that's okay. I'm okay. I accept who I am. But so because of that, I very much enjoy spending time alone. I enjoy reading my Bible by myself or praying by myself or going for a walk or stuff like that. But if that's the only way I experience God, I'm missing out. Because even though I do like to be alone, I'm still designed to be with other people. There's a reason that hermits go crazy. And I say this, understand, I'm not trying to be mean when I say that. When I lived up in the mountains years ago, there was fire watch stations on top of the mountain. And basically people, their job was to go sit on top of a mountain for 6 months and look for fires. Yeah, some of them were a little crazy because we used to hike up and go say hi, and they were so excited to have visitors because we're not designed to be alone. That's not how we do it. And we want to invite others to be a part of that. We want to gather everyone in. I mean, when you look at the instruction that Moses gave, it's that we're supposed to gather together everyone, men, women, children, foreigners. Everyone is supposed to get together. We're all supposed to gather. Everyone's supposed to be a part. Something I learned growing up, and I had to work through it and figure it out, but church very much reflects culture. It's just we do church where we're at. Church here is much different than when I lived in Louisiana. And it's different parts of the world just because you're in a different culture. Well, if you look at the history of the church, when the church was started, almost everyone who was a member of the church was Jewish. They were raised with Jewish traditions, with Jewish homes, Jewish expressions of worship. And it was interesting, if you follow the history of the church for the first few hundred years, you've got a majority of it happens inside the Roman Empire. And eventually, the Roman Empire influences the churches. And the church eventually becomes the national religion of Rome. And when it does, it starts to look like a Roman church. And the Roman mindset is very simple. It's command and conquer. You be like us. You speak our language, you wear our clothes, you eat our food, you be like us. And then when you become a citizen, then all the benefits of citizenship are to you. And unfortunately, the church, if you watch, did that. Because the Jewish mindset is completely different. The Jewish mindset is everyone get together with us. We don't care if you're one of us or not. Get over here. And by being with us, you will find who God is. So I'll give you an example, like with communion. Communion is like the holy meal of the Christian church. There are many churches where you are not allowed to take communion unless you are a baptized member of that church. You have to become a member, then you can be involved in what we're doing. Whereas the Jewish tradition, when you look at Passover, was the exact opposite. Everyone's invited to be a part. You're not Jewish? Don't care. Come on in. You still have to do all this stuff to be ceremonial cleansed or whatever, but everyone is invited to be a part of this meal. Even if you don't know God, come on in, because by sharing this meal with us, you will experience who God is and then find God. It's a very different mentality, but it's why they invited so much. There's a lot of Jewish meals, if you haven't noticed. There's a lot of celebration around food because they want to gather everyone in. We want to get everyone to be a part. Everyone to be a part. I mean, Even I've been in churches where children are not allowed to do communion. They can't do that. They don't understand it. It's not for them. But yet in Passover, part of Passover is actually designed for children so you can teach children who God is. It's a much different mentality. It's what we kind of got to get back to. We got to get back to this idea that we want to gather everyone together. And by getting everyone together, then we can experience God together. So even if people who don't know Jesus, great, bring them on in. So that way, when they're here with us and we're all experiencing Christ together, hopefully they will find God. That's the idea. This church has so many opportunities for people to gather together. It's crazy. I don't know if you know this. We do this every Sunday. You're invited back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. You can be right here. We've got children's ministry, 9:45 and 11. We've got confirmation going on right now on Sunday afternoons. We've got fifth and sixth graders meeting on the second Sunday of the month. We've got grade 7 through 12 with me and Liz. We meet every Sunday night. I say that as we don't meet tonight because it's a holiday. But we even do fun stuff, like last Friday, the third Friday of the month, we always get together and do something fun. So on Friday night, we went and played knockerball and archery tag. If you don't know what those are, it's exactly what it sounds like. You get inside huge inflatable balls and just run at each other, or you get a bow and arrow and you shoot each other. I love my job, but it's literally what we did. It's fun, because we're allowed to get together for fun too. We have all sorts of adult Bible studies. We've got Wednesday morning, we've got Wednesday night, we've got Friday morning, we've got a young adult group meeting Wednesday nights at Panera. We've got this new one that was even mentioned today on March 10th, this whole looking at Christ and Holy Week and how we can just get ready for Easter. It's happening 9:45 on Sunday morning. If we get more people, they want to do another one at 11, or maybe a Wednesday night one, I don't know, but there's all sorts of opportunities just to get together so we can gather and so we can just spend time, not just with each other, but we can get to know who God is. You can even get together for fun. It's allowed. Some people don't get that. It is. I had a kid years ago. Oh my gosh, I wanted to punch him. I wish we were playing archery tag that day. But he came up to me, he's like, hey, this was like for a month solid. Hey, you want to go skiing? You want to go skiing? You like skiing? I like skiing. Skiing's outside. You want to go skiing? Hey, how about skiing? I'm like, what is your problem? He goes, well, I want to go skiing. I'm like, yeah, figured it out. Thanks. Go skiing. He's like, but don't you have to plan that? I'm like, no, I do not. Go skiing. And he did this amazing thing. It was mind-blowing. He asked his dad, can I take some friends and go skiing? His dad said yes, and they went skiing. And it was like the next week, he had this look on his face like, so wait, I can get together with friends at church, but not at church, and you don't have to organize it? Yes, you can do that. Some of you are laughing, but it's funny how I hear things like, I'm glad we have the meals like the fish fry and the all church dinners and stuff like that, but I always love hearing people say, I wish we would do that more because I like to have to sit down with so-and-so and I never see them. Then sit down with so-and-so. Call them up. Hey, want to go to dinner Wednesday night? There's free pie at O'Charlie's. And go. It's not that hard. But we don't know how to do it anymore. That's the thing. We're losing this ability of getting together. We don't even know how to do it. And we don't realize is very much it's an innate part of our being. This is who God created us to be. If we're made in his image, and he's one who is always one but three, and he's always together, this is who we are too. This is why we like to do it. This is why we like to get together with people. This is, really, it's the message of the cross. This is what Christ did. He wants us to gather everyone together. He didn't die on a cross just for an elite group or just for one. Everyone. He wants everyone to be involved in that. We have a relationship that was broken because of sin. He died on a cross so we could be forgiven and restore that relationship with him because he wants to gather with us. He wants us to get everyone else to gather with him. He wants everyone to know his love. So as we go out this week, here's your challenge. Get together with someone or invite someone to join us. Because here's something else I've learned that we've done. We seem to think that just by sharing information, we're somehow inviting others to join us. I wonder how many people there are in this town, that hear so many good things about this church, but don't know they're allowed to come join us. Because I see it. I've been with people, and they say fun things they're doing, and I don't automatically assume they're inviting me. We got to start letting people know they're invited to be a part with us. I mean, a minute ago, I just told you about that Bible study, Sunday morning. Told you what it was about. You know what I didn't do? I didn't invite you to join me. I just told you about it. What if we actually started inviting people to join us? Hey, our church is doing a Bible study on Sunday mornings. Would you like to go with me? Does that interest you in some way? It's interesting, I was bugging the students about this last week. You know which denomination or church group is the absolute worst at inviting people to join them? Methodists, by like a long shot. But we're doing such great things. Why don't we invite people to join us? Christ loves them. Why aren't we inviting them to know that? So my challenge is, invite someone. Like I said, we're going to be here next Sunday. Come with us. Let's gather together. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are a God that doesn't want to stay far off. You want to gather with us. You want us to have a relationship with you. You want us to be with you, but all of us together with you. So God, I pray you would help us to, one, want to gather with you. Help us to understand your love in this new way, this different way of gathering together, but help us also to understand how much you want others to gather with you and help us to be the people who can do that for you, to be the ones inviting everyone. In your holy name I pray. Amen.